Shine the light of your word, O Lord, on us this morning. By your Spirit, let us see your wonder. Open our eyes, unstop our ears, and show us your most excellent way, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today we are celebrating the transfiguration of Jesus, the moment when he leads his inner circle of disciples up the mountain and his divine glory is revealed to them in this display of dazzling light. So themes of light and revealing what has been hidden and transformation thread their way through all of our scripture passages this morning. Our first reading is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And in this story, we hear the story of Elijah, who pops up in another reading later on, and his own transfiguration when God takes him up to heaven in a whirlwind. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take from your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And Elisha answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But Elisha said to him, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they were both standing by the Jordan. Then Elisha took his mantle and he rolled it up and he struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Elijah responded, "You have asked for a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join with me in our responsive reading of Psalm 50, which is printed in your bulletins. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, perfection and beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him.
He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people.
Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Our next reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And in this passage, Paul uses the theme of light to share that what has been experienced in the life of Israel has been revealed and given new expression in Jesus Christ. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God, with a lowercase g, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let the light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
At the end of Mark chapter 8, Jesus has a serious discussion with his disciples, telling them the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Peter rebukes him for saying such terrible things, and Jesus brushes him aside, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." He then calls the crowd to gather, and with his disciples, he teaches that if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. 6 days later, this happens. So hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church, in today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes when our ears and our eyes are open, and when we're really paying attention to the life we are living, there is a moment when everything is right, when everything fits. Henry Nouwen, a tremendous 20th century Christian writer, says this of that kind of moment. He says, "We experience complete unity within us and around us. This may happen when we stand on a mountaintop and are captivated by the view. It may happen when we witness the birth of a child or the death of a friend. It may happen when we have an intimate conversation or a family meal. It may happen in church during a service or in a quiet room during prayer. But whenever and however it happens, we say to ourselves, this is it. Everything fits. All I have ever hoped for is here." For Peter, James, and John, everything fits in those holy moments with Jesus up on the mountain. All they have ever hoped for is right there, right before their eyes. From among the 12 disciples, they are the chosen one, accompanying a strangely silent Jesus up the mountain. The mountain which is known as the place of revelation and the place nearest to heaven. For the disciples, the pieces of the puzzle of who Jesus is begin to fall into place as they see Moses and Elijah appear in their midst. They make the connection that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law represented by Moses and the fulfillment of the prophets represented by Elijah. The cloud descends upon them, cloaking them in mystery and glory, symbolizing the divine presence surrounding them. The voice which spoke at Jesus' baptism speaks again, naming Jesus as God's beloved Son and commanding them to listen to him. In that moment, everything fits. They can ask for no more than what has been given to them in these moments. Nouwen calls this the experience of the fullness of time. So it's no surprise when Peter says, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Let's stay here, is what he means. Let's hold on to this moment for as long as we can. In that moment, they are able to forget the news that Jesus had shared with them the week before. They were able to forget the news that the Son of Man must undergo much suffering and be killed before rising again. For a few moments, they are no longer haunted by Jesus' teaching that to follow him is to deny oneself, to pick up one's cross and follow him. Follow him all the way to the cross. The disciples are understandably reluctant to leave this holy mountaintop experience. Everything in them wants to cling to the glory of these moments when everything fits. But Jesus knows they can't stay on the mountaintop. His road comes down the mountain and leads into the very depths of suffering, before finally reaching the revelation of glory. It's Black History Month, and when I read this story of the Transfiguration, I can't help but think of Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, "I've been to the mountaintop." It was given on April 3rd, 1968, in the Mason Temple Church of God in Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. I'll post a link of the audio of it later on the church's Facebook page so you can listen to the whole thing. But I just want to read a small part of it for you this morning. Toward the end, he says, "And they were telling me, now, it doesn't matter now. It doesn't really matter what happens now. I left Atlanta this morning, and as they started on the plane, there were six of us. The pilot said over the public address system, 'We're sorry for the delay, but we have Dr. Martin Luther King on the plane. And to be sure all of the bags were checked, and to be sure that nothing would be wrong on the plane, we had to check out everything carefully. And we've had the plane protected and guarded all night.'" And he says, "And then I got into Memphis, and some began to say the threats, or talk about the threats that were out. What would happen to me from some of our sick white brothers? Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't really matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop." He was shot and killed less than 24 hours after giving that speech. "I don't know what will happen now," he said. "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't really matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop." Given the passionate depths of King's nonviolent protest movement, I would guess he had been to the mountaintop more than one time. Then he was someone who was really paying attention to the life he was living, and to all of the moments when time stood still, when everything fits. And because he could do that, he could face the future without fear. "It doesn't really matter now," King says, "because I've been to the mountaintop." words that could have been spoken by Jesus as he tries to prepare his disciples for what is coming next. Words he could have said as he set his face toward Jerusalem. Words that can still be spoken by us, because we have been to the mountaintop in those moments where everything fits, when all we have ever hoped for is here in front of us. These are the moments of grace God gives us to remember when the road God asks us to follow leads not up the mountain, but down through the valley. These are moments we can hold on to with both hands when God seems far away and everything seems empty and useless. We can face the future without fear because these are the moments of grace that we carry with us as we follow Jesus back down the mountain and toward the cross. It doesn't really matter now because we've been to the mountaintop. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.